Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello and welcome to episode... Wait, I didn't even do this right. Hello and welcome to... Fuck it, whatever. 100. Brought to you by Kenny. I've had some whiskey. I failed miraculously. I said that I was going to ride a pedal bike, a motorcycle, and go surf. And all I did was go surf. And I went to a range cleanup day. And I went to Colorado Springs and picked up my Subaru. And then I worked on my Jeep today. So,
well, tell us a little bit more what was going on with the Subaru.
Oh,
see, are you trying to fix the issue where it sounds like a Honda running on three cylinders? Because that's just how they sound.
No, that's where I purchased the Jeep, and I didn't think it was very nice to say, "Hey, Andrea, why don't you spend 4 hours going to Colorado Springs to look at a car I might not buy?" Instead, I was like, "Yo, Troy, can I leave a car in your driveway for a week or two?" And he's like, "I don't give a shit." So I drove to Troy's. We went and looked at the car, and then I left my car at his house. That way, when Andrea made a trip to the Springs with me, it was knowing that it was needed, which I felt like was a little bit more fair. And she got to get sushi and more mango from Sprouts.
So you drove a secondhand Jeep partway across the country? Just like straight up?
It's like 100 miles.
Whew.
Dude, I just bought it.
Balls on this guy.
I just bought it and drove that bitch home.
That's sick. I mean, that should be the test though, right? Like if you made it home, then it's fine. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, it's fine. It needed an oil pressure sensor and a steering
rack. Oil pressure is important.
Well, it has oil pressure. It just had a bad sensor.
Yes.
That was tested.
Yes, it was tested and verified with a mechanical gauge. The vehicle has oil pressure. And now with the new sensor, the pressure is accurate on the dash, which is very important. Mm. And it needed a steering. It needed a bunch of stuff in the steering assembly. And I ordered all but one tiny little part, so I didn't get it all installed today. But the steering rack was visibly leaking, as in you could watch shit drip out of it.
Did it drip inside the car or outside the car?
Outside.
Outside, yeah. I mean, there is no inside the car.
Whoa.
On this.
Fun fact, like, my Daewoo.
On your Daewoo.
The Daewoo leaked its steering fluid inside the vehicle. Tell me how the fuck that's possible. Never figured that out. Someone else owns it now.
I'm assuming that you looked at it and figured out how that's possible.
No, zero. I put a towel down.
So, yeah, the steering gearbox leaked visibly, and I just was like, well, the pump whines because it's been ran low a bunch because it leaks all the time. And under the seat, I found a two-part power steering fluid with leak stop in a different container. So if you poured it, it poured leak stop and fluid in. And I was like,
Well, and also the pulley.
Hold on. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, Well, I know I need a pump. So I'd have to unhook these two hoses on this end. And I know I need a steering box, so I have to unhook these hoses on this end. And I'm like, I know, I'm getting new hoses that don't have this old weird fluid in
there. There you go.
And I went to the local AutoZone, and I talked to a very nice lady, and I screwed up. And I meant to order a power steering pump with reservoir and pulley, and I ordered a power steering pump with a reservoir plus two hoses plus a steering box. And the old pulley would not come off. It wouldn't. I heated it up with fire. I smashed it with a hammer. And I solved that by ordering a pulley that'll be here Monday. It's Friday. Whatever. It's not my only car.
Well, the old pulley also, when I was looking
Andrea thinks it's a weld repair. I think it's just Jeep quality.
It had like weld spatter and then a weld around like the inner part of the pulley, and I was like, I think this was probably welded when it was still on this thing that it's supposed to come off of, and something changed shape and maybe melted a little bit, and it now is just not going to come off.
Also, a new pulley was $33, and it'll be here Monday. So yeah, that is my week. Before I tore the Jeep apart, I did drive it. I finally got my tags. Golly, the county clerk's office should just be illegal. Like, I don't know. It's just so annoying.
So I'd like to chime in really quick here. I've been very surprised. Utah has a pretty phenomenal DMV. Everybody's like really nice and really helpful. and they've got like a pretty darn decent website. For example, you can't do everything, but if you buy a vehicle from another Utah owner, I guess it's like in their special database, which is a reasonable thing because, you know, states don't fully talk to each other. And if you buy a car from another Utah person, you just do it fully online. You just scan in or take pictures of your stuff, your bill of sale. You tell them how much you paid for it. And if it's within their like reasonable range, it lets it go through and you pay your tax and do everything, everything online. Just done. It's freaking sick. But anyway, continue.
Well, I think that there needs to be two lines at. I don't care if it's the clerk's office, the DMV, whatever your local place calls it. We go to the county clerk to get our plates. We go to the DMV to get license stuff.
By the way,
I don't know.
What the fuck is the difference between those two entities?
Because the Department of Motor Vehicles is authorizing you to drive a vehicle in general. The county clerk's office is assessing all the taxes and fees and stuff associated with the vehicle. That's all I can think of.
Gotcha. But did they do other stuff? Do they deal with like titles for like houses, for example? I don't fucking know. This is a legitimate question because I've heard of county clerks. Like in Tennessee, we had they had people like called county clerks
or
something.
Yeah, and I think that's where we send our property tax to.
Okay. I guess that's reasonable. I've just never heard of a county clerk in Utah, for example. Maybe they've just figured out how to like not have that extra thing.
Anyways, there needs to be two lines. Like, hey, I can, and I'm going to preface this with, this isn't a joke about a different language, but like I can speak in general. I have all my shit together. I have money and I have filled out all my paperwork and I have money and I know what the fuck I'm doing. There needs to be like a TSA pre-check style, like county clerk pre-check, like oh, this person's not a nincompoop. Like it was a 49 minute wait to go in and register my car.
By the way, this will be part of my manifesto. This one's easily solvable because if you get caught in that line where you're supposed to have all your shit and you don't have all your shit, you get tagged and they make you wait in the longest line the next time. And you have to fucking wait in that line. And maybe you learn your goddamn lesson. Continue.
I mean, that's just it. Like there needs to be two lines. But the one really cool thing that I found out today, that if you are a Colorado-based listener, this might be super helpful for you, or you might think that I'm insane. I probably am, but I have a trailer, a Jeep, a Subaru, and a Nissan Frontier. February, July, September, and December, I have tags due every single year. On top of that, in March, I need to get OHV stickers for my motorcycles. So I'm always needing to do something.
I think I see where you're going, and I'll also solve this one when I'm Supreme Leader. But I think you're going to solve it yourself here.
Colorado already has it solved. Yeah, so in February, when my trailer is due, I go in. I can't do this online, unfortunately. But I can go in and say, hey, I understand that I have another vehicle that is due in July. I am able to pay for February through July. And then that'll be in 2026. And then in 2027, I'll do everything in July. Same thing in September when I go to do the Subaru, I can pay the discounted rate to get me to July. And then in December, I can pay the discounted rate to get me to July. And then what's really cool is that'll get me to July of 26. In July of 27, I'll be able to go in and say, hey, team, I would like to renew my – I could do all this online except one part, but I'm going to renew my Jeep, my Subaru, my Nissan, and I'm going to get 5-year plates for my trailer because it's under 2,000 pounds. And that is sick.
I've got an even better idea.
Well, hold on. I'm doing some real explaining for our 17 Colorado listeners. The only caveat there is you do not get to pick a month, but if you have multiple vehicles, you can make your other vehicles match a month of one of your other vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, that's brilliant. It should be so simple of you roll into the DMV and they realize, hey, this is your second vehicle. Hey, do you want to have all your vehicles have the same fucking month on the plate? And you say, yes, I do. And they're like, cool, here's how it works. You're going to pay all of the months that you're missing up until that month, and then you're going to pay your normal year. And so it's boom, fucking done. And every subsequent plate that you have will have the same goddamn expiration month. How is that difficult? Plus, this is a huge bonus for the DMV because they bank on the fact that people buy and sell cars. So, and this is also a ridiculous thing that we have here. Unlike European countries where you buy like a yearly registration and that can go to another owner, here, if you do it halfway through the year, you're fucked. You lose your 6 months or whatever, and then the other person has to pay
for
a year. Absolutely, you fucking do.
Not in Colorado.
Well, everywhere else you do. So maybe Colorado is figuring some shit out, but everywhere else, 100%, because you lose your registration.
Because I walked in with the plates from my Land Rover, and I said, I want to put these plates on my new Jeep. I sold the Land Rover. And the lady was like, cool. And when she did all my stuff, she's like, and you got a $44 credit or whatever it was, or I don't remember the number.
Yeah, well, that's great that they have that, but other states definitely do not.
The only thing, Kenny, and the way the lady described it to me is what you just pitched was like potentially paying for 17 months of registration. Yep. They can't do that because they don't make the stickers until later. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense, but just make the fucking stickers because you're going to need them anyway.
Well, right, but what they offer
is super helpful.
Super helpful.
Every single year, there's another year after it. It happens every fucking year. It's not like a mystery. It's not like, oh shit, is there going to be a year after 2025? Maybe if we all get fucking nuked, maybe that's the case. But Jesus Christ, make some goddamn stickers because we're going to be dead anyway and you got some extra stickers. Who fucking cares?
By the way, to our listeners, Kenny has had some whiskey.
I do have one thing on my notes from last week that I didn't cover that's not something that I have pulled up on new shit and stuff. While I'm still anti-chain wax, because I just, you know what? Maybe that's what I'm going to do this winter. Maybe this winter I'll wax my chain. We'll see. Maybe
you
it'll
have
be
to
like
ride your bike too.
Maybe it'll, I was about to say maybe it'll be like the bike rides that I didn't do this week, and that shit won't happen either. Anyways,
and here's the thing: when you do that, also, Matt, like, I want you to get hurt. Not like I don't want you to feel pain and be hurt, and I don't think that's funny. But I think to make a point, it should be like a disaster, right? Like you're doing something, you're in your garage, you got like the waxer going, and then like you trip over something and the waxer like turns over upside down, like spills wax all over everything, maybe a little bit on you, you stub your toe, and it's just a terrible experience. So that's what I want.
Kenny just wants some Final Destination shit to happen to me.
Let me be clear. I don't want you to actually be seriously injured or killed. I just want...
You just want me to be hugely inconvenienced,
yes,
and mildly achy from trying to do
you
this.
You nailed it.
Okay. Well, on the Marginal Gains podcast, I only listen to the Ask Josh Anything episodes because they have the most of this stuff, which is really, really what sticks with me. Super fun fact. Oversized pulley wheels, like the giant ceramic speed pulley wheels. Sorry, I have burps. I just ate a bunch of watermelon right before we started recording. The frictional savings that they offer is often over-negated by the additional aero drag of the larger derailleur cage.
If every oversized, basically, if ceramic, and here's the thing. I'm happy that people do interesting things in the cycling industry. I don't wish ill on anyone. I don't want anyone to lose a job.
Except me when I wax my chain.
But if ceramic speed didn't exist, I think I would be a happier person. In general, the whole company.
Not only does your bike shift worse, but it actually has more aero drag than you're saving in frictional losses. So,
I don't doubt it. Plus, your goddamn derailleur doesn't work. So let's forget that you just spent $500+ for this cage. And when you put it on, a spring came out and hit you in the goddamn eyeball. But you didn't gain anything. And now your shit doesn't shift. So congratulations.
But it's a race-winning formula. I'm on their website. So, yeah, that's pretty much, I think, all I have. Hey, you know how the bike industry gets really busy in the summer?
I do.
You know who never, like, you know, as a bike shop, you generally staff up in the summer?
Sure.
You know who doesn't staff up in the summer?
All of the manufacturers and distributors?
Any of the fucking vendors we use. No one... Like, I logged into one of my vendors and was submitting a bunch of warranties because I deal with this at the shop, and it's a bunch of stupid little stuff. I specialize like globe seat post recall or fucking Vado that magically won't turn on or whatever bullshit. And they're like, Processing times are up to 10 days, and I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Here's another little thing. It's 2025. Everybody's website is functionally fucking worse than it was in 2000. How is that possible?
Oh, here's something that really gets me, because I'm not going to go too in the weeds on the details, but I had to order a crash replacement front triangle for a Santa Cruz Bronson frame this week. And Santa Cruz is owned by Pon, which owns Cannondale, GT, Cervelo, and Santa Cruz Reserve and Juliana. Yeah, when I log into my dealer site, I can't submit a warranty. I have to submit a warrant. I have to go and then click I am submitting as a shop on behalf of a customer and type in like 1900 different pieces of information that's already attached to my VIP account that they've given me. And then I get to submit my warranty. And then I get an email and I can't track anything on the VIP website because it's not done through the VIP website. It's done through the consumer site. Like I'm a regular fucking person. I just click a different drop down to say that I'm a shop. And boy, howdy, is that a little bit annoying.
Yep. Nobody thinks this shit through. It's absolutely insane. And also, another little one, hopefully some other people can chime up, and maybe you've dealt with this in other facets of business. Maybe it's not just the bike world. There is some goddamn salesperson going around who works for Shopify. Shopify business can go fuck themselves. That goddamn platform is so terrible. If I have to get another goddamn two-factor authentication, we have 100 computers in our company. And every single goddamn time one person has to log in on a new computer, I get a mandatory two-factor authentication for Shopify, amongst all the other shit that it doesn't work. You can't build POs. There's no goddamn part numbers. You can't search by UPC. Their shit is fucked. So hopefully someone from Shopify is listening. You can go fuck yourself. I hope your goddamn plane crashes.
God damn, Kenny.
And Shopify is taking over all bike company B2Bs now. It's happened in the past 6 months. You should go check it out. They've taken over Envy. They've taken it's so many companies. It's unbelievable. And it is a horrible platform user experience on my side of the B. Your side of the B might be okay. My side of the B is fucked. So fix that B2B, goddammit. It's terrible.
All right. Who's next? Because I'm done talking.
I can go next. Mine's a two-parter. Yeah. Obviously, clearly, this is a little bit of a ranty episode. It happens from time to time. I have consumed a reasonable amount of alcohol. Which, by the way, I really haven't been doing much. I don't drink a whole lot, to be honest. I just had one little whiskey drink. Not a big deal. Everything's fine. So I got two parts.
Kenny, you're recording a podcast, not flying a plane. Yeah. You don't have to justify it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd probably do the same if I was flying a plane. Here's the deal. This is a two-parter. One is I did cool stuff. Utah's really neat. I rode some motorbikes, did some dual sporting, did a nice 140-plus mile ride, a little bit of street, mostly gravel. It was good stuff. Explored up around like 9,000 feet. It's been really dry and dusty here, but when you get up that high, and especially if you get on some more untraveled stuff, it's pretty awesome. We got a ton of that here. It never ceases to amaze me every single time I go out. There's just new, really cool stuff to be had. So anyway, I think the motorcycle side of Utah is, well, the mountain biking is pretty darn cool, but the moto stuff is absolutely phenomenal. So had a lot of fun, rode with a buddy of mine. And then the next day I did some e-moto. And I was pretty much fully trashed, but still had a good time. Still enjoy both of those motorcycles. They're both really good. I think that's basically all I've got on the bicycle side of things. I've honestly been pretty curious about maybe getting the Fox Podium. What do you think? Am I an insane person?
You are, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
So buy one. Here's the hardest thing you're going to run into. You run Control SL wheels. Are those 24 or 28 holes?
They're 28, so I can get a hub.
You can?
Oh, yeah. I'll just...
So you can get a Boost 20 by 110, 28 hole?
You got it. And they're like $100, $150. But would I do that? At that point, I'd probably just get another wheel set. I would sell what I have and get a little bit more trail-rated wheel set. I think I like doing ridiculous things, and I'm very...
Fucking coward.
And I'm very easy on wheels, but a 20 mil hub on a Control SL, like, yeah, I think that might be the limit.
No, hold on. I have one more rant about bike industry stuff.
Okay. Oh my God.
If you work in the bike industry and you do not have your phone number and your email signature, you're a fucking coward.
I agree with that. It's very, very frustrating. I want to talk to you on the goddamn phone. I can solve so many things if I can just talk to you like a human being. This chat shit, you can have the chat shit. That's fine. And if you choose to use it, that's great. But if you only have the chat shit, I'm going to get mad. All right. So that's kind of all the stuff I've been doing. I'm going to introduce a new segment to the show. We can figure out where we're going to put it and where it's going to live. But for now, it's going to go after what I've been doing. This is a 47-part series, also known as a masterclass if you're a douchebag. And the series is called How to Drive a Fucking Car. Lesson number one. And we're going to do one lesson per episode. So it's going to be 47 episodes. It's about a year. So you're going to get a year's worth of all this. And I have already made the list. I made it in about 15 minutes and it's 47 points. Here we go. Number one.
Did you really make a list?
I really do. I'm looking at it right now. I can screenshot it for you.
Do that. Please do that.
Here we go. Lesson number one. And it's going to be, it's like just a minute or two.
Is this like chapter one of your manifesto?
No. Manifesto is a different thing. This is me changing the world. This is just a little bit on how to drive a car. That's it. I guess it could be a subset of it, but it's really nothing.
A little bit. 47 fucking parts is a little. Just continue. Obviously, we don't have time for banter.
All right.
Inform us, Kenny.
Part number one. Have you ever pulled up to an intersection and there's a big fat fucking line followed by two skinnier lines? You stop at the big fat fucking line, not 20 feet before it. And not your goddamn back wheels on it, because when people try to walk across the street, they run into the side of your goddamn car. Stop at the fucking fat line. That's it. Lesson number one.
Can I give a rebuttal to that?
Yes, sir.
A counterpoint? City planners, put the big fat fucking white line where you can see into the fucking street you're trying to cross.
No, that's accurate. That's accurate. And there are concessions to this, which we can talk about. It's in one of the detailed points down below it. But for now, realize that the fat fucking line is where you goddamn stop your vehicle. It's really easy.
Oh, we lost Kenny.
But yeah, that's it.
All right.
So I think it's Andrew's turn.
Oh, I thought we were going to get all 47 points.
Oh, no, he's going to do it over a year. Episode.
Okay. Okay, cool.
All right. So I just have one other thing to that I would love to toss. It's white. It's big, fat, white line adjacent or not adjacent. It's directly related to.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted. I'm just not. The opportunity has not presented itself since I have decided to fucking do this, which is when the person in front of me stops way in front of the line and I'm stopped at the line. I want to just go when they go and then like, but with a cop visible, because I didn't break the law. That person stopped where they shouldn't. And then went, like, officer, you don't want me to pull in the middle of the fucking intersection and stop again, do you? I stopped where I was supposed to.
Oh, you're talking about stop signs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're going to trust me. We're going to cover all of this stuff. It's going to be phenomenal. And maybe someone out there is going to learn something, or you can tell someone you know who sucks at driving about one of these 47 points.
All right.
All right, Andrea, AK 9 and 15 sixteenths. You go.
What'd you call me?
9 and 15 sixteenths. Did you try cutting off a little bit of your finger today?
Oh, yeah. I was pruning tomato plants today, and I have these wonderful little pruning scissors. I mean, they're just amazing for what I'm doing. And I was like, oh, I need to get that one. And I reached in and grabbed the branch with my left hand and real quick, like, went to snip it with my right hand and cut through the branch. And maybe the last quarter inch or so of the scissors also snipped my fingertip. And I thought I was going to have to, like, mandatory, this is going to be stitches, because it immediately was bleeding a lot. Like, a whole lot of blood was coming out. And it was, like, running down the front of my hand, the back of my hand, into my sleeve. Like, it was just gushing. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that's going to fuck up my day. Like, and it didn't even, like, these things are so sharp. It didn't really even hurt. It was just immediate lots of blood. And I went in the house and Matt's like, oh, my God. Because my hand is just covered in blood. And I was like, I just cut the tip of my finger with the scissors. And I don't know yet if I need stitches. Like, it honestly is, like, the least bad but most bleeding cut I've ever had as far as, like, pain versus blood. There was, like, hardly any pain, but just lots of blood.
Did you get through any of the bone?
No. No, I mean, I think I saw like a little bit of fat in there.
No, it was, like, in the then you're pad. Good. I mean, your finger won't ultimately be any shorter unless you lop any bone off. So you're good. I'm a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I think it's honestly, it's such a clean cut that it just, like, it was just bleeding and bleeding. We, like, sent pictures to a nurse friend of Matt's, like, does this need stitches? And she's like, possibly, you know, maybe one. And kind of my gauge is, like, how quickly does it start or stop bleeding? Because remember, like, that time at Sylamo, you, me, and Matt were riding, and, like, I busted my knee on something, and, like, it just wouldn't stop bleeding.
I don't think Kenny was there.
Was I? I don't know.
Yeah, Kenny was there.
Maybe.
I thought Kenny was there.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of busted knees on trails
well,
in my day.
I busted my knee once at Sylamo, and it just would not stop bleeding. I mean, like, an hour later after I did it, it was still just bleeding.
Yeah.
And I went and got stitches. And, yeah, it took, like, I don't know, 4 stitches or something to close it up. And that, and it was still, like, while I was just sitting in the emergency room waiting, it's just still bleeding. And I for sure thought this was going to be like that, where it was just not going to stop and I would just have to go to urgent care or whatever. And we sent some pictures to a nurse friend, and I, like, was kind of just sitting down waiting, and I was like, I'm going to send her one more picture. And I had been, like, pushing on it, like, just holding a paper towel against it. And I literally went to take another picture, and it just stopped. It went from, like, all the blood to literally, like, 0 blood coming out.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like you just ran out of finger blood.
Yeah, it was like...
that is not... Never mind.
Yeah, it just was, like, 10 to 15 minutes later, and it just shut off. It was like the faucet turned off to my finger, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go get stitches. I'm not going to waste the rest of my day getting stitches. And yeah, like, I put a Band-Aid on it, and it didn't even, like, yeah, I went back out and just kind of kept working, and, like, it didn't even bleed into the Band-Aid at all. It was just a super, super clean cut because the scissors were so sharp that it just, like, clotted itself back together. And yeah, so I ordered some, Matt wanted to super glue it, and I do not want to put super glue in my body because it can actually do some bad shit to you. Like, if you get it in a wound, you can actually, some people have allergic reactions, you can have inflammation, it can worsen your chance of infection. Like, it's actually not, and when it breaks down, the problem is the molecule that makes super glue, cyano something.
I think it's cyanoacrylate.
Yeah. For super glue, it's a smaller molecule and it's fine for gluing stuff together. But if you get it in your body and it starts to break down, it releases formaldehyde and it's not good for you. And I actually read, like, I was contemplating trying super glue and I went and found, like, an actual scientific journal with, like, a case study where some man tried to glue his son's forehead shut after he busted it. And, like, the next day it was really swollen and just gnarly. And he had gotten the glue inside the wound. And they ended up having to put his son under anesthesia and excise the super glued part and stitch it all back together. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that for just, like, a finger that already stopped bleeding. But I did order. So you can't get Dermabond, which is what they would put on you at the doctor's office. It's a prescription or doctor thing. But you can get Vetbond from Amazon, which is not FDA approved for humans. It is very slightly different than the human version. It doesn't have antibacterial properties, but otherwise functions the same. So I ordered some of that. It'll be here Tuesday. If I need it then, I'll use it. If I don't, I'll just keep it, like, probably in my pack, because cutting yourself while field dressing an animal is a very likely thing to happen. So, yeah, I'll have some of that. And next time I see my doctor, she is my general, like, just whatever, general practitioner doctor. She's really awesome. And if I told her I wanted some, you know, for hunting and being out in the field, you know, if I could get a prescription for it, I think she would probably give me a prescription for one to have around in case of emergency. So, yeah, that happened today. Let's see, this week. So we're recording on Friday. We normally do Thursdays, and last night, which was Thursday, the people at our local gun shop, they have a podcast, and they wanted me to be a guest on their podcast. And I was like, really? Like, why? but yeah, they just thought that I did lots of cool stuff, like with mountain lion hunting and just the amount of backcountry exploring and hunting that I do. Yeah, and then we talked some about bike racing and my past doing that, and it was a good time. And yeah, we were finishing, like, they were like, this is like the best one we've done. Like, okay, well, cool. I mean, I think they've done like 3 or 4 episodes, but I mean, they've had like some really cool people on their podcast. So I was, I don't know, flattered. Is that the word? Honored to be a part of that. So I'm not sure when it's going to come out, but I'll post about it on like Instagram and stuff. So keep an eye out if you are interested in listening to me talking about things like chasing mountain lions and stuff like that. But yeah, like Matt said, we went to a gun range cleanup day. I don't know, have we talked about Bill from the gun range much on here?
I don't know.
So out at the Chaffee County gun range, which is a very nice range, there is often, if you go to the rifle range, find an older gentleman named Bill. And he used to be a sniper instructor, and this is kind of like a little bit of, I don't know, local folklore, because he doesn't really talk about it. He does not like to brag. He doesn't like to talk about himself. And apparently he still holds some like long range, has some long range shooting world records that still stand. And that's from like, I guess, the 80s or something. So yeah, like he's a very skilled marksman. And if you need help while you're there with long range shooting, he is happy to help you as much as you need. And he's helped me a lot. And last time I was out there shooting, he very politely and in a not, I don't know, not a forceful way, told me that I should come out. And he said, if you like our gun range and you like using it, you need to come out to the range cleanup. And so I was like, yeah, I guess Bill just told me I need to come out and help him clean up. So I drug Matt out there Wednesday. And
you didn't drag me.
I know, you offered, but Matt and I went out and we helped with the cleanup day, and it was nice. I mean, we had enough people. It went pretty quickly. It took a couple hours, but it's right next to the county landfill. And what happens is all of the lightweight trash from the landfill will just blow into the range. So you just walk around and pick it up once a year. But other than that, had a little hiccup with my garden. A deer jumped my electric fence and ate some plants. Ate the tops off of some tomato plants, and ate an entire, just stripped a whole broccoli plant down to the stem. Didn't touch any of the other broccoli plants. It ate an entire plant and was like, okay, that's enough broccoli. I'm going to move on.
Well, I mean, it sounds like ate the floret part and didn't touch the stump, right?
Well, it didn't touch the stalk, but it ate like all of the leaves and stuff. Like, it literally is just like a broccoli stem and the branches from the stem like sticking up out of the ground.
I mean, it sounds like that deer knows what's going on. Who eats broccoli stumps?
Kenny, you have so much shit that we don't have time for today. What's next? Is a hot dog a sandwich?
But yeah, it ate like half my pepper plants, broccoli plant, most of the flowers, and the tops off some tomato plants. But, you know, there's still a lot out there. I'll still get a few peppers. Broccoli's not turning out that great anyway. We ate some of it, and I think it's just had too much direct sunlight. Broccoli doesn't necessarily like a ton of sun, and it was a little bit bitter, which is unfortunate, but...
Is it hot as fuck out by you guys?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's insane. We've been up in the 90s. It's so hot here for so long. No rain. It's ridiculous. It sounds like basically not just the U.S. or like all of North America. It's the entire fucking world right now is like hot. It's pretty crazy.
Well, that's what happens when billionaires make, you know, single person flights across, you know, a state just because they don't want to ride public transportation or, I don't know, use commercial airlines. So anyway, what Matt just like perked up. Oh, and let's see, chicken nuggets, all the laying hens and the rooster are doing good. I unfortunately had to call one of my meat bird chicks They're like 3/4 of the way grown right now. I noticed this morning, and this happens with meat birds because they have been basically bred to grow extraordinarily fast. And what can happen is their bodies will outgrow their lung capacity and they can just fall over dead because they just aren't getting enough oxygen to the rest, you know, their entire body. So I noticed this morning there was one that was just kind of sitting off by itself and just, it was sitting or just laying like they do and just breathing as hard as it could. And I was like, oh, that poor little chicken. And yeah, like it kind of scurried. I needed to clean out their coop today. So I went in there and it scurried out with the other chickens and it laid down in another spot. And like when the sun moved and like the shade, it wasn't in the shade anymore. Like it still just laid in the same spot doing the same thing. So I was like, yeah, he's having a rough time. So I wasn't going to make him just, you know, suffer and suffocate. And I just went ahead and we had him for dinner tonight. It was delicious, but, you know, I know that I hunt and I raise meat birds, but even though I harvest animals, I do not like to see any animals suffer. And, yeah, I just didn't want to make him keep going through that just to get, you know, let him, like, grow a little more. So that was a little bit sad, but I feel like it was the right thing to do, but I need to end on like a happy note.
And we still have a bunch of shit to talk about.
I meant like for what I've done. I feel like I always end on like a bummer note whenever I talk about my shit.
Talk about how succulent the chicken was.
Oh yeah, it was delicious. We smoked it and I could barely like cut it apart with the knife because it just kind of fell apart. So that was nice. Matt's like texting over there. I'm trying to get him to help me remember like happy things I've done this week.
And I'm trying to talk to the person that gave us medical advice today. She was telling me that they received the wedding invitation. I sent a picture of Daisy. And then let's see. I had a patient whose index finger got amputated from an infected wound spread to the bone. I said, lol. She says, waves like Dom, who's one of our trials friends.
You don't have to read your text message.
And then Tom is the guy that's missing a finger because he got drunk and accidentally shot it off. So
that's going to be Kenny tonight.
Nah.
No, I've had worse cuts than this one as far as like depth and pain. This one was just bleeding like it wasn't going to stop, but then it just stopped.
Like so. I said, you just had to run out of all that finger blood and you're fine. That's clearly what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've had way worse like knife cuts that I didn't get stitched that I really should have just so they would heal faster. But, you know, a lot of times you're just not in a situation where you can do that. So I have high hopes for this one. I don't think it's going to, like, I think the worst one was at Tom's when we were butchering a goat and I like absolutely just sliced into my finger. Like it was just gnarly, but we were in the middle of butchering a goat. Like I couldn't just leave because it would have been, I mean, that goes along with, yeah, I don't like to waste animals. Like they're, you know, if they're not alive, if you have to butcher, you know, if you have to kill an animal, so, you know, and you're going to eat it, like I feel like letting that sit out in the sun and go bad is not a possibility unless you're having like a fucking heart attack or something. Like if it's a life or death thing, okay, but like, yeah, like for a cut finger, it's like, I'll deal with it later. Like we have to take care of this first because it's just more important. So that's why I've had way worse cuts that have had more chance of infection than this did, because this was like, I cut it and immediately went inside and washed it out and bandaged it and it should be fine. But enough about me. Let's talk about new shit.
Let's talk about that fucking 32-inch BMC XC prototype that was spotted at Andorra.
Can I say just how much I love how they did the stem on that?
Yeah.
Like, that is really fucking cool. I mean, the whole thing is pretty cool, but, like, I don't know. Like, this is some really cool engineer shit, and the stem is just, it's just gorgeous. Like, it's weird, but it just makes a lot of sense. Like, even though it's fucking weird, it works like a normal stem. You know, like you would, I can just look at it and say, like, you would loosen that pinch bolt at the top, you would adjust your headset like normal, and then you would tighten that pinch bolt at the top, and you have
You might have to loosen up those bolts a little bit.
Well, I mean, I don't think you would, but...
I have speculation, you have speculation, and none of us have read the instruction manual, but you're right. Got it.
All right.
Go back to me calling you stubborn.
Oh, wait. Were you talking about the ones in the head tube? No, I think you might have to loosen the ones in the head tube to let the steer tube make sure that's... No, probably not. That's just putting pressure on the headset bearing. Anyway, you guys go ahead and talk about it.
I want to hear Kenny's thoughts. What do you think about 32-inch wheels? XC bikes are coming with them. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think that it's an unreasonable thing. I'm sure they're going to be pretty decent. I think they might live for a long time in the shorter travel bike ballpark because, yeah, the routier you get, you kind of need smaller wheels just for strength purposes.
I don't know. People said that about 29 when 26-inch wheels were like the thing, and then 29 came out, and they're like, those things are going to fold in half. And a few of them did at first, but then they didn't.
Yeah, I just don't see it for lots of reasons, because the more travel you have on your bike, the more you're going to have like tires wanting to run into your down tube, for example. We're just running out of physical room on a human-sized bicycle to put bigger wheels on. Between toe overlap and having long travel, I don't really think it's going to work.
Well, I think I have a couple of speculations here. I don't know that there were podcasts when 29 was coming out, but I have a feeling a lot of this was said then. And now, like, you know, 170, 29 bikes are great, right? But I will agree somewhat with the physical room thing. And if that does prove to be a thing, I think one of the biggest stifling points in the industry will be lack of, like, I don't know how much tech we're going to see dumped into this if it's not insanely fast and work and or hold on, let me back up. If it's insanely fast, they're going to move forward. If it can be made to work for all riders, they're going to move forward probably if it's fast. But if it's insanely fast and doesn't work for all riders, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough sell to be back in that world where it's like, oh, well, small and medium get 29 and large and extra large get 32. And I just think from a OE supply chain, I don't know that people want to go back there. And also, I don't know how small our front chain rings are going to need to be.
Yeah, there's that.
What does that have to do with anything?
What do you mean? What does it have to do with anything?
Your gear ratio is not connected to your front wheel.
This is 32 front and rear.
Oh, I thought we're talking about just 32 fronts.
No, we're talking about 32 front and rear.
Oh, I thought it was just a front. Yeah, I'm not interested in 32-inch rear. I don't think that's going to be a thing. And that's not me just being a curmudgeon. I think 32 is neat. And I think on the front, it makes a lot of sense. On rear, no. Now we have even more packaging problems, and you're going to have a gear ratio problem. Like, it's just going to make it even more difficult to get the gearing right with physical sizes. You can do it, but it's just more of a challenge.
But think about how good the chain line is going to be once the chain stays that long.
I mean, I guess. I guess, but you have to run a 24-tooth front ring and a 60-tooth rear.
No, you won't.
I'm just saying right now, I think 32 front and rear is dumb and won't be a thing. I think the end game is going to be 29 rear, 32 front, especially
and
for
I
short
think
and mid travel bikes.
Let's see. You're going to need a 28-tooth front ring to match a 32-tooth front ring, is my speculation. Yeah, I'm pretty confident in that assessment. Because I put Eagle on a customer's bike a long time ago that was 26, and she was like, I am just worried that I won't be able to go uphill. And I had her go ride a bike, a 27 or 29 bike around. And she was like, no, this feels great. And I was like, cool, you need a 36 front ring. So, because that is, if without that, you're not going to be able to ride down the road. And she was like, oh. So I think two chain ring sizes are four teeth for 32 is my guess.
I will say I do like a lot of the fabricable engineering, because on one hand, it's actually like pretty, it's pretty cool and it's pretty well done, but it's pretty ghetto. I love it. It's just a great mix of,
oh yeah,
you really shouldn't be doing this, but they did a pretty good job. I don't know. I really like it. I think that's really cool.
From
the crazy stem and the freaking fork booster thing with like integrated brake mounty doohickey. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty rad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like some engineers like doubled their dose of Adderall and just were like, all right, let's break out the CNC machine.
I don't think so. I think this is more, and this isn't any insider info douchebag stuff. I think this is just one of those times that we get to see something that we usually don't. Because I think there's a lot of hackery or good enoughery, you know.
So like this stuff goes on with a lot of bike companies, but
I think this goes on,
we just get to see it
all the time. You know, you don't cut a new mold to try a new Epic 8GO. You just fucking, you know, they've been cutting the front off of Epic 7s and gluing a head tube on that's different, and this time we just get to see it. You know, I'm just guessing that, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how far flung from there is a ton of this shit that just gets ridden in places that doesn't get photographed. So because all the spy shot shit that we see,
that's all intentional,
right? There's these people, you know, like Andrea saw Eagle before it was released. But and no knock on SRAM, but hey, numbnuts, don't wear a bunch of SRAM gear and then go riding around with shit on your bike that goes, you know. But honestly, if this had gotten a coat of paint, and I think, and ignoring the giant wheels, right? But let's go back to something simpler, like, you know, we're just trying new geometry on an Epic or new geometry on a Slash or whatever. I think they could just throw some paint on it and you wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't take it to the bike park and like stand in the lift line and stuff, but like just riding down the trail, people just aren't going to notice. That's my, you know, true speculation. And, you know, just with that, if, you know, this dude is in his like, well, it's training day, so he's not wearing his team kit, but like, you know, you wouldn't go out in a full fucking Trek kit on an unreleased, I don't know, Super Cal. You would just wear like some Rafa shit or something and just go. And if you wanted to stop and adjust your seat when you got to that trail intersection, if there's people there, you just don't stop. You know, it's that simple. So, I don't know. I think a lot of this shit goes on and we just don't see it.
Yeah, probably. It is really cool to see, though. Like, that's really, like, I don't care 32 wheels or inch wheels or not. Like, I don't really care that much if it actually becomes a thing. I just really like seeing the prototype stage of something like that.
No, it's super cool.
And it is on a medium bike.
Yeah, it's pretty. Well, that person's 183 centimeters, right?
I have no idea.
I think so. Yeah, that person's also, let me do a quick, 178 centimeters tall, so he is just under 6 feet.
5'8".
No, that's 5.8 feet. 0.8, so yeah, he's 5'10".
Yeah, he's on like the big, he's got like that cross-country racer like wanting that drop.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a small human.
He is an average-sized male.
All right, we want to go on to the next thing.
All right.
Race Face launched a wheel set.
Yeah, seems reasonable for a... How much did they say that it costs?
$1,650. Just buy Rovals.
That's the problem. That's the problem. When something is so established and has such a good warranty and is cheap and light and strong, why the fuck would you buy some kook shit?
I mean, I don't think this is kook shit.
It is to me. Like, again, maybe it's fine. It's just they have an unfortunate, huge uphill battle. Because even if their stuff is decent, I don't trust those hubs, and unless it's got some really cool shit, like it's got to be offset drilled or have some other features or whatever, if it's just like a round fucking carbon wheel and it says Race Face on it and it's average weight and kind of expensive, why the fuck am I going to buy that?
Yeah, I mean, they have a warranty. It includes crashes, so I don't think it's total kook shit, and Race Face is a company that, I don't know.
Argues with you when you're... A Race Face Cinch SL debonds and you're trying to get a warranty done, I mean, they are
probably,
asymmetric.
It's cool.
I think
we're out of this era, luckily, but I probably warrantied, and we've talked about this on previous shows, I have personally warrantied probably 10 sets of those race face carbon cranks. So again, unfortunately, in my brain, major uphill battle that they're fighting.
Also, one time the guy was like, well, I need a video of it. And I sent him the best video that you could ask for. I put masking tape over the extractor and onto the arm. And then I cut it with a razor blade and I drew a Sharpie line on it. And I sent a video showing that it wiggled a little bit and you could hear it thunking. Like I had the spindle in a vise and you could hear it thunking.
Yep.
And he like emails back like, I'm not really sure. And I called him because, again, not a coward, had his phone number. And I'm like, dude, watch that video again with your volume way up. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's a Cinch SL that has a loose insert in it.
Like they all
come
did.
On, man. And he was like, all right.
What the heck?
Dude, just send me some fucking cranks.
Speaking of which, we just submitted one to Raceface for some bent pedals because they're like super proud on their website about like, did you crash or do anything in any way, shape, or form to your pedals? We'll just send you free ones. That's what they say on their fucking website. Go look it up. And we submitted some. Someone had a bent spindle. And they're like, we're going to need a clear video showing the bent spindle. I'm like, I'm looking at the goddamn bent pedal. How about I mail them to you? You look at them and then mail me some goddamn pedals. Like, what the heck?
All right, what else are we going to talk about? Do we got any listener questions?
I want to bring up one more new thing that I think is interesting, but just interesting. Like, I don't want it yet. And I hope more companies start doing this because this is an Italian manufacturer and I'm sure shipping is ridiculous. It's something that you bolt onto your smart trainer to turn it into a rowing machine. And I think that's a great idea. I wouldn't want to buy this very first one ever made. I want to have some people use it and figure out how to make it better. And then I want to buy the next one or the one after that. But I think this is pretty fucking cool.
How many dollars is
it? It has like, let's see, $695. Or if you pre-order, it's $520.
Okay. And yeah, that's better. But the problem is a Concept 2, which is the gold standard for rowing machines, is $1,000.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, I own a smart trainer. I think it makes sense if you own a smart trainer already. Because the rowing machines are fucking huge, right?
Yeah, they're really big.
They're gigantic. Like, we couldn't fit a rowing machine in our house on the lower floor. Like, we could put it up in, like, a bedroom, but it might fall through the floor. I don't know. So,
well, we have a Concept 2 and a trainer in our basement.
Yeah, like, I think rowing
machines... Wait, you have a Concept 2?
Yeah, come at me.
Like, I really like rowing machines. But this is...
roommate is like an Olympic level rower. So...
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, well, you have a roommate again?
Used to be. I've always had roommates.
I thought you were full bachelor for a while.
Oh, he took a trip for a minute.
Oh, okay.
To the Olympics?
No. He did that a while ago.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he was tip-top level. Pretty cool stuff. So yeah. he has a concept too.
This is made in Italy, so the shipping is probably ridiculous. Because it's still like a long piece of metal. So it's going to be heavy. It's going to be a large box. So, yeah, like I want people to use this and for other companies to start doing it. I feel like this is kind of the surly of make your trainer into a rowing machine. Like, it's kind of weird, maybe not perfect. And eventually, if enough people like kind of get into it, a bigger company that could sell it through a U.S. distributor would start to make one that is not necessarily cheaper. I mean, I don't think that's a terrible price if you already own a trainer, but just one that's a little better and not being shipped from Italy.
For what it's worth, I went to the Concept 2 website. It says a history of excellence, and the dude is straight up one of the original like prototypes. They're using a bicycle and a seat pad thing at once. So I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
so
they're
maybe
onto something.
Concept 2 should do this. Like if they made one, I would even, I don't know if I'd pay more because then you are getting close to the price of like a full on rowing machine. But for the portability, the storability of it, I think that would be cool.
All right. Well, what else we got?
That's all I got. Oh, Kenny, I did Kenny and Matt, since you guys like to rant about this so much, on Bicycle Retailer. They have a state of retail. How would you describe relations with key suppliers and sales reps? They have an article about that.
What did they say? Everybody fucking sucks at their job?
I don't know, but I haven't read through it. I just saw the headline and thought of you two.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. For some reason, is it on the, like, not first page?
Possibly. I don't know. I just scroll through it and click on stuff that's
Are you reading a Bicycle Retailer from, like, 2006 or something?
No, this was published July 8th.
Okay. I will have to read that.
Oh, man. Frostbite 2026 is coming. Let's sell some Surly's. Please buy them.
Yeah, and six people are elated.
All the old sales reps that are like, oh, I missed Interbike. All of them are just getting excited.
But it's fine. We're making fun. I haven't been. Maybe it's really cool. I'm sure there are a lot of nice people. Some good old Midwestern folks.
All right. Listener question time.
All of our listener web contact form communications have been asking for Kenny's manifesto. So we have one from Aaron. Aaron says, I want the full face Supreme Leader show. Then we have Sean says, hi, I would love to hear Kenny's dictatorial unhinged manifesto show. I would love it if the show basically consisted of Matt and Andrea winding Kenny up a frenzy prior to actually recording and then just unleashing him on the world.
There you go.
But however you want to do it would be great and entertaining. Thanks for the informative and entertaining show. Keep it up.
For what it's worth, who was that?
Sean.
So, Sean, for what it's worth, that's not how you spell the name Sean, just for the record. And then the other...
What, do you want people to spell it like scene?
I don't know. I just don't like that one. I'm not going to say how it's spelled. I just don't like it. I was trying to not say it. That way, everyone named Sean would be like, how the fuck does he want it spelled? Actually, our move is when Kenny's in a rant, I'm like, shut up and push record. That's way more effective. And then, yeah, we'll do it. I know what we should do. I know how we're going to do the Supreme Leader show. I have a plan for it.
All right. Well, Adam says, I need this full episode of Supreme Leader talk in my life. Love the pod. Keep fighting the good fight. And then finally, from Steve, Steve says, yes, we need a Kenny as the Supreme Leader episode. Y'all's friendship comes through in the show. Thanks for being entertaining. So there you go, Kenny. You need to be sure to make a paper and a digital outline.
All right. Well, I'll work on it. We will get it. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. It's not going to be like next episode or something. And I'll decide just how unhinged I want to get. Because, I mean, it's, let's be real. It's unfortunately going to get political and a lot of people will probably be bummed out. But maybe not. I don't know. I want to think that I'm like down the middle. But, you know, there's...
I mean, I'm not going to get bummed out as long as you just agree with me that 99.99999% of politicians are... corrupt and do terrible things.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not that high, but yeah, it's we need to go down the middle a little bit more. It's pretty simple, but also do some crazy shit.
Yeah, I think mostly people want to hear the crazy shit, so you know, maybe you can just like name the outline point for the more political stuff, and then like just the more unhinged stuff, really, you know, get into your detail points about that and the footnotes and all that.
All right, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. The people have spoken, right, and we will work on it.
Yep.
Okay, well, there we have it. Oh, my God, it's not even open yet. Patrons aren't even open. Kenny, go on a rant.
No.
I got nothing.
We can just...
I got nothing.
If we have dead air... It comes out.
No,
in
no.
The editing.
No, let's
very
just
easily.
I'll
let's
tell you
just
what.
Keep
since,
talking.
Since we just cranked up the while you're getting prepared, since this is the first episode of the 47-part series of how to drive a fucking car, I will give you number two.
Oh my God!
Number two is called the inchworm. You've all probably witnessed the inchworm. Hopefully, you haven't done it. It's the person who is pulling up behind another car. It's already fucking stopped. The car's not going anywhere. You've obviously operated a motor vehicle up until this point. You know how to probably accelerate and brake. and know how to stop before you hit shit, maybe. When there's a fucking car stopped in front of you, figure out how much distance you're going to leave. Let's call it something reasonable. 4 feet, probably. Get to that fucking point, and then stop your fucking car. And make it in one fell swoop. I am now going to stop my vehicle in front of this other fucking stop vehicle. And just stop your goddamn car. And then that's it. You stop right there. Instead, what people do crazy inchworms here. People will park 20 feet away from that car. And then over the next 30 seconds, slowly move forward, which makes everyone else in the goddamn line have to also slowly move forward so they don't look like a douchebag leaving a giant gap. Because your fucking ass couldn't stop your goddamn vehicle behind another goddamn stop car. It's really, really easy. I don't know why people can't do it, and it drives me goddamn bananas. And God forbid you're driving a manual car, now you're fucking a lot of people behind you. So, anyway, that's the inchworm.
What I learned in
don't do the goddamn
what
inchworm.
In driver's ed, I learned that you stop where you can still see the rear bumper of the car in front of you.
That's a very reasonable thing. I don't even so much care. This will be in a separate point. I don't even care about exactly how much room you leave, but pick that goddamn amount of space and fucking stop there. And that's it. Just where you stop your car is where you stop your goddamn car. And I just don't understand how people will just do that and then just slowly move forward. But also people will inchworm stop at a reasonable amount of space, like 4 feet, and then inchworm to 6 inches in front of the fucking car in front of them for some unknown goddamn reason. So anyway, don't do the goddamn inchworm. It fucks everybody behind you.
Do you have one about pedestrian crossings yet?
Oh, I have.
We'll say
I have every single
okay,
one.
Great.
This was supposed to be a gap filler. You're only getting two today. We've got 47 of
okay.
these.
Okay.
All right.
You're going to get them probably one, maybe two at a time.
All right. Well, I am ready with patrons. We did have a patron that edited their pledge from less to $9.99 per month, and I'm going to assume that DG, as we'll call them, did not want their name read on air since they just went to $9.99 instead of $10.
I mean, with a name like Dildo Goblin, I wouldn't either.
All right, so our patrons starting at $10 a month, we've got Zozo, Tom's P, Tom Pickle, Timothy, Ty, Tennessee Zach, Taylor Swift, Taperboar Pro, Skunk in Your Trap, Samuel, Ryan, Ride Time Extended. Oh God, do we have, hold on. Noah, My Pal Dell, MTV Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Leland, Josh, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, JC, Jared, Jake D, Holden, Two Dicks, Green Giant, Gordon, Frank the Tank, Fart Noises, Eric, David Pumpkins, Chunk Norris, Captain Fickle, Cam Irish One, Bill, Bearded Bag O' Dicks, Barrel of Dicks, Angry JRA Forever, AJ, Aaron, A Very Prominent Stud Horse, underscore, at $11.11 per month, People Who Ride Inverted Forks Were Just One Bad Haircut Away from Becoming CrossFit Coaches.
That's at random.
Patamelon Disco at 14 Australian. Dean at 16.50 Australian. And at $20 a month, we've got Scott, Poop Wrench, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Brian, No Ketchup for My Chicken Nuggets. That's at $26.06 per month. Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors. We're the reason your GoPro footage is now evidence. At Fitty.
Shut her down. It's not my line, but shut her down.
Shut her down.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening, and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your pants.